Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the first Psalm. The first Psalm. Now, we will get back into our Hebrew study 2 weeks from today. 1 week from today, as I mentioned earlier, Paul Wooster will be preaching. And so we'll be back in our Looking Unto Jesus series in the book of Hebrews coming up. But I wanted to share today, it being a new year, I want to share with you what I believe to be one of the greatest promises from God's Word found anywhere in Scripture. It's really said the same promises all over the Bible. But it says it particularly in this psalm that really is a blessing to me. And I'm hoping that this will be a promise for you for 2021. Now, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many watching today and many here today are believers. But not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together. It helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. You ever seen a lion tamer? Here's a lion right here. You know, I did not, they used to have a big circus in Jacksonville, and I would go some, but as far as the big top goes, you know, they say you go to the big top and the lions would be in there and the elephants and they'd have all the animals and all of that. I really don't remember much about that. The fair to me was rides, getting sick, just kidding, and all the games and stuff. But they say that a lion, if you'll notice, he's got that whip. And then he, a lot of times, will take a stool. Interesting, I read one time they use a stool because there's four things sticking out at the bottom of a stool. And that cat, he's sitting there and he's, you know, he could eat you alive. He's got the power. And if you just came at him yourself, he'd eat you alive. But because that tamer has four things protruding, it confuses him. And he's there about to pounce, and all of a sudden that tamer goes like this, and that cat. He sees four things coming at him from four different directions. And because of that, the lion tamer has an advantage because he has those four things coming at him. Now, I want you to think about this statement. Focus, and if you're writing stuff down, this would be one to write down. Focus brings effectiveness. Think about sunlight. I know as a kid you did this. I did this. You know, the sun warms everything. But focused sunlight can start a fire. Did you ever do that? I think about years ago, Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great. And in that book, he talked about the hedgehog principle in business. And basically that meant do one thing better than anybody else. In other words, instead of a business trying to do every little thing, focus on the one thing that is the most profitable. Focus brings effectiveness. You know, that's true in a church too. As we focus on making disciples, what is our commission? What is our mandate to make disciples? And we're to do it by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. There's been so many things that are on that stool that we've been focused on in our world. I think about all that's happened with this pandemic, the emphasis on the economy, what's going to happen, jobs for people, the rush need for the vaccine, what to do about our schools, what to do about the university, what we have had, decisions we've had to make in the church, and all of this in such a charged atmosphere politically, all of this is going on. So I want you to think about this, a promise for 2021. The blessing that comes from God. And here, and as we get into this, how do you find that blessing? Matter of fact, let's look in the passage in the book of Psalm. This is Psalm 1. Okay, I'm going to read it, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. And instead of us focusing on a ton of things today, let's focus on one thing today from this psalm, all right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's focus on a promise for 2021. Rather than a bunch of things facing us, let's focus on a promise in 2021. Now, it says in verse 1, blessed. The word blessed, in the original language, it means, oh, the happinesses of. That's what blessed means. Oh, the happinesses of the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So the word blessed there means, it means to be straight. It means to be level. We want things to be level. We want things to be right. It's what that word blessed means. It doesn't mean prosperity financially, and even the word prosperity in verse 3 doesn't mean necessarily financial prosperity, although when you live by God's principles, you may find some of that. God may bless you with wealth. It's, you know, it's not so much do you have money, but does the money have you? That's the question. But he's talking about being blessed by God, and he said, oh, the happinesses of the man. It means to be straight, to be level, to be right, to be at peace, okay? How you can know that really your life is in the hands of God. Wouldn't it be amazing to go through 2021 and have this one assurance and focus? My life, God is in control, complete control of my life. And nothing's going to happen to me unless it is filtered through the will of God. This passage of Scripture gives us a promise about that I'm going to get to, that I want to share with you. So as we think about this promise for 2021, I want you to write three things down if you're taking notes. Here's the first thing. Say no to sin quickly. Sin is a progression. He says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, it's not necessarily, at least in this case, it's not the power. Some people say, you know, there's power in positive thinking. There's not necessarily that. That's not necessarily the point here. The point here is there's power in negative thinking. Say no to the progression of sin, and say no to sin quickly. Because sin, you move from ungodly counsel to unwise lifestyle to unbearable pride. Look at that verse 1. It says, the counsel of the ungodly. All right? The word counsel is the word that means to deliberate or to plan or to scheme. In other words, the ungodly, there is a plan for you that the ungodly will give you. And he says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. So it goes from ungodly counsel to an unwise lifestyle. In other words, you're walking along, you're getting counsel from the ungodly. All of a sudden, you're standing in the way of sinners, the scripture says. You're standing in the path of sinners. All of a sudden, you find yourself, the word stand there means to abide. You're abiding in the way of sinners. And the word sinners means to miss. Sin in the Bible means to miss the mark. And so when you live this way, you're missing the mark constantly. You're constantly never getting to the point that you're trying to shoot for. And so it's an unwise lifestyle. You're standing in the path of sinners, but then it goes to sitting down. Notice the progression. You're walking, you're standing, you stop, and you're listening. And then you get comfortable and you sit down. It's a progression. Nobody ever wakes up one morning and says, you know, today I'm going to become a drug addict. Today I'm going to decide I'm going to become an alcoholic. Today I'm going to decide to be unfaithful. No, it's a progression. And so I think the principle here, if we're going to be blessed by the Lord, if we want to focus in 2021, we've got to say no to sin quickly. Back when it's a counsel, back when it's the beginning of the progression, because it ultimately leads to where you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. The word sit there means to dwell or to remain, and the word scornful, get this, it means to make mouths. That's literally what that means, to make mouths. You're scornful at the things of God. It means to scoff. You scoff at the things of God. You know, there are people that scoff at the things of God. The founder of CNN was a guy that maybe some of you have not heard of him, but others of you will have remembered this name, Ted Turner. Ted Turner told an audience at the American Humanist Association that Christianity was a religion for losers. Now, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm investigating truth, and right now I don't want to... No, he comes out brazen. He comes out scoffing, and this is what sin can do to us. All of a sudden, you're sitting in the seat of the scoffer. Anytime God's word is raised up in your life to bring change and transformation, you scoff at what that is all about. He said that the Ten Commandments should be rewritten to eliminate the prohibition against adultery. He characterized Christians who oppose abortion as bozos. He was just brazen, has been brazen about Christianity. You know that there's a governor in Virginia, a governor, Ralph Northam is his name, and there's been a real controversial law that allows for abortion right up to birth. And listen, you're talking about brazen. They have adopted that in Virginia. They have adopted that law in Virginia. And when we know from God's word what God says about the preciousness of life, to realize that we have gotten so smart, we have gotten so brazen, we have gotten so rebellious, we have gotten so scornful that we would say, no, that unborn baby, you can take its life right up to birth. And so in an interview, this governor was on a radio program, and he said this, commentating on that bill in a radio interview, quote, if a mother's in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother, insinuating at that moment they could make a decision about whether that life should exist or not. Folks, I'm telling you, this doesn't happen just in one moment. It's a progression. It comes from unwise counsel and people listening and then standing in the path of sinners, and then all of a sudden you sit down, and before you know it, you're in the seat of the scornful. I just read this a couple of days ago. They have come out with a new terms for the 117th Congress of the United States that's about to begin. And they have removed all gendered terms. Did you hear what I said? No, they're basically saying terms like father and daughter and mother and son are now eliminated in the House rules for the 117th Congress. Voltaire was a French philosopher who lived from 1694 to 1778, and he said this. He said, "The Bible is what fools have written," scoffing at the Bible. He said, 100 years from my death, you won't find a Bible in the world. Scoffing. I tell you, one way that we can be focused and have this promise that I'm going to tell you about, that I want you to focus on for 2021, is we've got to say no to sin quickly. Don't wait until it gets a foothold. And you may be made fun of even by those who seem religious. But you stand your ground. You say no to sin quickly, because what happens is you go from ungodly counsel to an unwise lifestyle and to unbearable pride. And that's what happens. And if we do that, we forfeit this promise for 2021. Here's the second thing. Not only do you say no to sin quickly, number two, you say yes to the Word of God wholeheartedly. Because in verse 2, we see it. The first thing that this person does that wants this promise is they delight in the law of the Lord. The word delight in verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight means to be inclined to. It means to be pleased with the law. Pleased with the laws of God, the Word of God. The word law there means the precepts, the principles of God's Word. What great principles. You know, God's Word doesn't adjust to time. In other words, the principles are true. They're timeless truths that you can preach to any person at any place at any time. Matter of fact, what they teach you in seminary, what I learned in seminary about preaching is, you know what my job is? My job is to take the timeless truths of Scripture and deliver those to the people, and they will work. If it's 1960, if it's 2060, they will work because they're timeless. And so we are to delight in the precepts of God, the law of the Lord. But then it says this, in his law, he meditates day and night. The word meditate there means to mutter. Do you talk to yourself? If you pull to a stoplight and you look to the left and there's somebody, and it may be me because I do this, I may be having a conversation. Of course, now sometimes people are wearing earbuds in their head. I look at people and I go, that person's talking to themselves. Then I realize they're on the phone. They've got something in their ear and they're on the phone. But the word meditate, he meditates on the Word of God. His delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It means to mutter or to ponder. It means to think about it and apply its truths to our lives. The Scripture says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So we are to say yes to the Word of God. Robert didn't even know what this message was going to be about. And yet in his thing, he said, you know, you may have to say no to some things going like this in the road when there's no BMW to direct people around. And then he said, you may have to say yes to some other things. That really is the message. The message is say no to sin quickly, but say yes to the Word of God wholeheartedly. He meditates on it day and night. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says this, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life. You hear that promise? For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It's a picture of having God's word with you all the time. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 7 verse 2 says this, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. You know what the apple of your eye is? It's your pupil. You are to guard God's word in your life like you would guard your pupil. All right, Robert, I'm going to take my finger and I'm going to touch your pupil. Okay? And let's just see how far close I get. All right, watch this. He's closed his eyes already. Why? Because there's hardly anything in the human body more precious than your pupil. Now, you people, how many of y'all wear contacts? Y'all don't count for this. I've seen y'all. Y'all can take your finger. You can go in and out. You know, I had teenagers before and others, and I'd say, what do you do? And they said, my contact's up here on top of my eyeball. You know, and they take their finger and they jam it up there and they get that thing down. I mean, I don't know how they do that, so y'all don't count for this illustration, okay? But I'm telling you, you take your finger and you start going at my eye with it, I'm telling you, I'm either going to hit you, I'm going to duck, I'm going to run, I'm going to do something to stop you from touching your finger to the pupil of my eyeball. Why? Because it's precious to us. It's sensitive. Well, we are to hold on to the Word of God with that kind of tenacity. And that kind of, it's that precious to us. And so we are to guard it as the apple of your eye. Abraham Lincoln said this, all the good from the Savior of the world is communicated through this book. Talking about the Word of God. But for the book, we could not know right from wrong. All the things desirable to man are contained in it. Romans 12:2 says this, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you transform your mind? You do it by the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So we are to say no to sin quickly. We are to say yes to the word of God wholeheartedly. That's why I encourage you to get a Bible reading plan, and I encourage you to write that word speck down. I encourage you every day to think, Lord, what are you teaching me today? My father-in-law used to tell me, he said, Calvin, the Bible's the only book you can read and talk to the author at the same time. I love that. Through the Holy Spirit, God can speak to you through the Word of God. Do you realize that the God creator of this universe wants to communicate with you? And with me. And so we are to cherish, we are to say yes, say no to sin quickly, say yes to the Word of God wholeheartedly. We are to delight and meditate in the Word of God. Here's the third thing. And this is really where the promise comes in. We are to experience God's blessing abundantly. In verse 3. First of all, we see in verse 3 it says, and he shall be like a tree. If you do those things, you're going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. All right? You see here an abounding satisfaction in verse where it says planted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, truthfully, that word planted is a word for transplanted. It's like a picture of salvation. What happened when you got saved? The Lord took you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of His Son. The picture here is like of a tree that has been planted, actually transplanted, taken out of dry soil and put by rivers, by a reservoir, by an irrigation system so that they could have nourishment, all right? So we find there hidden resources that come in rivers of water. So there's an abounding satisfaction. And then also what happens in our lives is we see astonishing timing. Because in verse 3 it says this, that brings forth its fruit in its what? Season. Astonishing timing. Fruit in its season means at the right time. You know, the Lord answers prayer. Amen? But sometimes it doesn't come immediately. It's about the timing. But when you live saying no to sin quickly and yes to God's word wholeheartedly, then you have the peace that in its season, at the right time, then you'll find fruit. You may be going through a season where there's not fruit right now. It's very difficult right now. But you have the promise that in its season, it will come. I knew a girl in our youth ministry who was brokenhearted because a young man had proposed marriage and had entered into a really deep relationship there, and that girl had that boy on her heart. She wanted that, and all of a sudden he broke it off, and it devastated her. Later, God sent another person whom at this moment in her life she would say, oh my goodness, why I ever thought that first guy was the one, I'll never know. But going through that difficulty was not easy, but realizing that God has astonishing timing. I think about Noah. Waited for 120 years before the floods came. Can you imagine the ridicule that Noah experienced while he was building that ark? And yet he waited. I had a professor in seminary who prayed for his father to be saved, and year after year after year, and yet later that father was saved. And it was amazing, astonishing timing. But that man could rest knowing that God was in control, because when you live saying no to sin quickly and yes to the word of God wholeheartedly, then you know that you'll bring forth its fruit in its season. It's the timing of it. And then the third phrase there, whose leaf also shall not wither. That's an attractive consistency. Think about it. You have in that passage, you have an abounding satisfaction, an astonishing timing, an attractive consistency. His leaf also shall not wither. The word wither means to wilt. In other words, that would be sort of disgraceful in that way, that leaf just wilted. No, its leaf also shall not wither. I think about consistency. Isn't it wonderful when, listen, And I am getting to where I can say this because I've lived some years now knowing Jesus Christ and watching others and seeing the hand of God in people's lives and the hand of God in my own life. Isn't it amazing to see consistent believers in Jesus Christ? Listen, who through thick or thin, they're faithful. I think about when I was a college student in this church, there were a number of men that were in this church. And as a guy who grew up in a single-parent home, my dad died when I was 15 years old. You know, I was always interested in the involvement of men. I think it just challenged me as a young man. And I remember seeing consistent men in this church. And I praise God for consistent men in this church now. But I mean rib-rock commitment to Jesus Christ and to the Lord's work, even in difficulty. Every one of them had been through difficulty. Every one of them, they weren't serving Christ just because everything was going well. They were serving Christ through heartache and difficulty. And I'm telling you, it was astonishing to me to see, and it was attractive to me to see that consistency. So God can help us have that kind of testimony. But then we get to the thing I was coming to. All that's the introduction. This won't take as long, okay? Not only that attractive consistency, but then we have an awesome promise. Here's the promise. And whatsoever he does, whatsoever he doeth, the old King James says, shall prosper. Now, I learned something from Dr. David Garland at Southwestern Seminary. There's a thing in Hebrew called a hithiel. That's a part of speech. That's a grammar term in Hebrew, a hithiel. And this is a hithiel imperfect. And what this is saying this. When you are like this person who is saying no to sin quickly and yes to the Word of God wholeheartedly, you'll have these characteristics. You'll be like a tree transplanted whose leaf will not wither. And then it says, and whatever he does shall prosper. It does not mean whatever you do, you will prosper. What it means is that when you live that way, are you ready for this? Whatever you do, he will cause it to prosper. So that takes the pressure. That takes the pressure off of me to know every little decision that I've got to make. You know, I've got two main responsibilities. Number one, say no to sin quickly. Number two, embrace the Word of God wholeheartedly and let it change me. And then I sit back, I say, Jesus, because I can tell you, and you guys will know, if you're parents and in other situations that you're in, you've got decisions to make every day. Hey, raising five kids, I had to make decisions. And Kelly and I would get on our knees and say, Lord, help us know how to make decisions. And it always wasn't real clear. Now, there are some things that are super clear. There are some things that are not so clear. But here's what we said, Lord, with all we know, you've got us. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, we trust you that you're going to make it work. Whatsoever he doeth, he shall cause it to prosper. It doesn't mean that you're so smart that whatever you do is going to prosper. What it means is when you live this way, whatever you do, God can cause it to prosper. Y'all ever go to a maze? I hadn't been to a maze in a long time, but they used to have these big mazes. You know, you'd go and you'd run, try to get to the other, and you'd run and you'd come to a dead end. And if it was bushes, I'd just jump through. I'd try to get through there, right? But no, you're not supposed to, so you got to go back. There's one way to get there. They take mice and they put them in, they put cheese on one side, they make these mazes, and they put a mouse in there, and they say, now he's got to get to the cheese, so he'll go over here and he has to take a U-turn and go back like this. Maybe I'm just simplistic in my mind, but I think about this promise this way. If I'm obeying this passage of Scripture, and I'm going the wrong way, God will put up a block and get me on the right path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So Robert, you're going this way, and you're about to make the wrong choice. And you're supposed to be going that way, but you got up that morning and you said, Lord God, with all my heart, I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. I say no to sin and yes to you today, Lord Jesus. You have me lock, stock, and barrel. And I'm going to go this way, Lord. I'm trusting you to guide me. If I'm going the wrong way, I believe God Almighty in his sovereignty will put up a roadblock right there. And he'll adjust me over here. Now, I may run into you going there, but I'll get there. The Lord will give us that promise. Now, personally, Y'all may be different, but I don't know how I could live not knowing that truth. Because my whole life has been made of making decisions under the sovereignty of God, saying, God, I'm trusting you. I tell you what is amazing, and I'm learning this the older I get. I'm starting to see the hand of God when I look backwards. And I see how God did things and made things to get me in the right place. I wasn't smart enough to get there. And the Lord can get you there. So that's the promise. That whatsoever you do, he shall cause it to prosper. I think about eternity. We don't know a lot about eternity, and we know it. We know we'll be with the Lord when death comes. But this professor that taught me this passage, he told the story of a man in his church that died, and I've told you this many times, but it just rings true with me that God's in control. They called him from a holiday meal with his family. They said, our father is dying. Can you come, Pastor? And he did. And he got there, and they made a way for him. They made an opening at the foot of the bed. And the man was there on the bed, and he said he was hardly moving. And with all the strength he had, he mustered it up, and he kind of leaned his head up and looked at his pastor. And then he winked. And not long from then he was gone. And Dr. Garland said, that was that deacon's way of telling me, Pastor, I'm okay. I'm all right. It's the idea, have you ever heard this phrase, God can hit straight licks with a crooked stick? I think I'm glad we're not airing all this out. I'm probably as crooked as anybody in here. But under the hand of God, you and I, God can hit a straight lick with that crooked stick. And he does it in his sovereignty. By the way, it says there in verses 4, 5, and 6, about the person who says no to this. Look at it. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. What was once concealed will be revealed. The chaff was, as they threshed the wheat, it was like the straw. It was very loose, and the wind would come and blow it away, and it became real clear what was the chaff and what was the wheat. So what was once concealed, sometimes it can be concealed here on this earth, but it will at one time be revealed. And then that person will face the judgment of God, because it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So he will face the judgment of God. He will ultimately perish. The Bible says the word perish at the end of that passage. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Voltaire, the French atheist, he said, in 100 years, you won't find a Bible. The Bible was the writing of fools. About 58 years after Voltaire died, the Geneva Bible Society bought his home to distribute Bibles from. One of my favorite passages or promises is 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him, whose heart is wholeheartedly his. So here's what I'm thinking that I want to do for me, and I hope we can do it together. In 2021, let's, instead of looking at four prongs on a stool, let's get focused. Let's get focused. Like a magnifying glass, it takes that sunlight. And let's get focused on this. Believing in God's promise that whatsoever we do, when we have said no to sin quickly and yes to the Word wholeheartedly, then we trust Him that He will direct our paths. Whatsoever we do shall prosper. And even in a pandemic, and even in difficulty, even in things we're facing, and I know everybody in here is facing different things. We've got them in our family. We've got things we're facing. You've got things you're facing. Lay your head on your pillow at night, and you can say what William Booth said. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, Jeff, he went to Buckingham Palace, and they asked him, they said, "What's been the secret of your ministry and the Salvation Army in London?" And he said this: "From the day Jesus came into my life, God has had all of me." That was what he said. I just can't help but believe that even in a difficult year we've had and the unknown of the future, that if our congregation right here, if we could lay our head on the pillow at night and say, "Jesus, we don't have all the answers, but whatever your questions are, the answer is yes. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. What you tell me to do, I'm committed to doing it." I just don't think you can fail when you live that way. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.